Good afternoon and welcome to Jaguars.com Live in the pregame presented by Everbank. I'm Brian Sexton. You all know Jaguars defensive end turned color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and we're here to get you ready for kickoff. And, is this a must-win for the Jaguars?
I don't know if I'd put it in a category of must-win, but I think the fan base would put it in the category of must-win. They would need to see some encouragement. You know, Gus Bradley and his football team, we expected this team to be at this point 2-3, maybe 3-2 at best, and right now they've disappointed. They need to start playing complete football. Until they start to play complete football, Brian, they're not going to win.
You know, Jeff, a good friend of both of ours, Vic Ketchman, always used to talk about, you go in the stages of winning from lose big, lose small, win small before you can win big. And this team seems to be stuck on lose small. One play could have changed that, though, right?
Well, it could have, and certainly on the leg of Jason Myers at Indianapolis or against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a protection issue which forces Blake Bortles to have an errant throw that's intercepted, or a rookie running back, Corey Grant, having a toss play and an unblocked guy coming into the backfield, and all of a sudden the Tampa Bay Buccaneers score off of that. But, you're right. It's incremental steps for a football team. But there's a lot of the fan base that feels that these incremental steps are taking too long because they're having a hard time realizing that this is year three. And for a lot of them, it's going all the way back to 2007, which is totally understandable.
All right, so there are a couple of key pieces coming back, right? Last week, Julius Thomas came back in a limited form. He should get more time today, wouldn't you think? And Sendarek Marks is back, and Denard Robinson is back. How much do those guys help the overall effort?
Well, let me start with Julius Thomas. I think his impact in this game is going to be huge. You can see the wind blowing. It's tremendous down here on the field. Northeast 15-20, and it's swirling. So I think the quarterback is not going to be adhering himself to the long ball in conditions like this. So the underneath stuff is going to be at a priority. And where that falls is right on the hands of Julius Thomas. Last week, they didn't prepare for him throughout the course of the week to be available on game day. They knew that he was going to be available. I think his role is going to jump and jump tremendously. Now, going to the defensive side of the ball, Sendarek Marks. I think his impact is going to be minimal. He's at 10 weeks coming back from ACL reconstruction. I just don't see how you can come back and have a positive impact. I think his leadership is going to be positive. But I think overall, I think his snaps are going to be limited, probably in the range of 15-20 in the game. The biggest impact for me in this ball game is the return of Paul Posluszny. Last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this defense has always been great against the run. But the Buccaneers ended up rushing for over 180 yards, and the big reason for that was them missing Paul Posluszny.
Because he cleans everything up, right?
He's the captain of the ship. He gets them lined up. There are a lot of times, and sometimes for those that were watching on television, it's hard to see some of the communication that's happening too late in the play sequence before the ball is snapped. That's Paul Posluszny. He gets everybody lined up. It's a relatively young secondary still. It's still a young linebacking core. And having Paul out there guiding the way is huge for this defense.
All right, let's go back to the offensive side. I'll never forget the week after this game, you pointed out Brandon Linder's performance against J.J. Watt last year. Linder's not here. Does that mean A.J. Cann is going to get a look at J.J. Watt today?
Yeah, I think there's three different guys. I think A.J. Cann will see some of J.J. Watt. Jeremy Parnell, who the Jaguars signed in free agency, has got to play a big role. They haven't been moving J.J. Watt around as much as they've done in years past. And I think a big reason for that was they had Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. But I think today that may be different. Now, J.J. Watt was listed as questionable yesterday because he came down with an illness. We saw him warm up. He didn't go through his typical warm-ups like he always does, but he will play, and I expect to see a highly motivated J.J. Watt. He received a little criticism for his play against the Indianapolis Colts last Thursday night. The Colts did a great job against him. J.J. did not show up in the statistics at all, but I expect to see him at an extremely high level today because he's been at a high level against the Jaguars in the past.
Well, six sacks in the two games last year, so if you're the Jaguars, how do you counter him with the running game, and how does that work without T.J. Yeldon?
Well, you double him every chance you get. Okay. Whether it's two tight ends or whether it's an offensive lineman and a running back getting a chip, which is helping out with the offensive tackle. But my biggest concern is if it is a running back, T.J. Yeldon was your best pass protector over the last five games. They don't have him available in today's game. Toby Gerhardt is going to have to fulfill that role. So that's going to be a loss for the Jaguars.
The way the Texans play defense with Romeo Crennel, how different is it than the older days when we used to see the Texans pretty much rush you by?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Okay. They're not as daring as what they've been in the past under Wade Phillips. Romeo Crennel plays more of a base package. So I don't think that it's anything that will be surprising for the Jaguars offensively speaking. They've had some injuries also in the secondary. Quentin Deft, their normal starting safety, is inactive. They've moved Kareem Jackson over there in some situations, like in the nickel package. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of complexities in the Texans' defense.
On the other side of the ball, you and I had a quick conversation this week about Hoyer. He came in last year, very highly touted, top-rated quarterback in the AFC, and was pedestrian. Started 8 of 27, finished with a 46 quarterback rating. What do you think of him, and how do you attack him today?
Well, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a game manager. He's better than Ryan Mallett. He's got more experience. I don't care who's throwing the ball. They got to stop DeAndre Hopkins in this ball game. Number two in the National Football League in receptions, number one in yards. He's the big factor.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much.
Okay, Brian.
Have a good broadcast this afternoon.
Right, Jeff,
here comes Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Hi, Osher, how are you?
Blustery out here today,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, it's a little bit
nice. I didn't
expect
that.
Yeah, a little comfortable in your coat
nice.
For the first time
it
in Jacksonville
nice.
This year. All right, we touched on the fact that Cindric Marks returns and that Julius Thomas will likely have a greater role. Your thoughts on those two and Denard Robinson?
Well, the first two, a very strong argument can be made that for the first time this season, you may have your best two players on the field. I mean, these are guys coming into the season. I think most people would have, if you were charting out a top three or four, those guys were in it. I'm not sure it's realistic to think that Cindric is 100%. You
right.
put up an ACL first
right.
game back. The kind of player he is, I can recall Tony Vaselli coming back in 2000, making the Pro Bowl, different position where you're stepping back as opposed to needing that quick twitch. But he certainly should help just by being a veteran guy, just by being as good as he is. You would think he will draw some double teams. You would think he would be able to affect things enough to help guys out around him. Julius Thomas, I think it was misunderstood last week when Gus said that they didn't have any game plan for him. They didn't build the game plan around Julius Thomas last week. They knew what he could do well. As he gets healthier, I would be surprised if you don't look at this game today and think, that's a lot more of what I expected from Julius Thomas. You know, what is building the game plan around a guy mean? I don't know exactly how much you're going to build around a tight end, but I expect him to have much more involvement and for it to look like, okay, they're going this way to him. Now, if we can't get it over here, this is why he can help us. He's drawing a double team here. Now Allen Robinson is open. So
well,
much more of an impact, I would think, than last week.
And on a day like today where these swirling winds might necessitate, and the Texans pass rush,
sure.
might necessitate getting rid of the ball quicker,
yeah.
Thomas is probably your top target.
Well, and at some point he's going to be, I don't know with the emergence of Allen Robinson anymore, if it has to be where Julius has to be the top target all season. But you certainly want at some point for him to have a few games where he's the top target. Because as Gus alluded to this week, that's how long it takes usually for a guy to become, okay, we've got to go double him. Well, once that happens and he has some big games, then you'll start seeing that double team draw over to him. But yeah, I would be surprised if you don't notice in the first half more of a commitment to get him the ball. Because he is a guy, as we saw during training camp, as we saw in Denver, he's a guy who can affect games and he can make a play where he's above the X's and O's, make somebody miss and go 45 yards.
No T.J. Yeldon today. Denard Robinson returning from the MCL from a couple of weeks ago. Does that mean today is the Toby Gerhardt show?
Well, I doubt it. I think he's going to start. It would surprise me if Robinson doesn't play the majority of the carries. Now, the only way that would happen is if he went full all week. So I'm assuming that he is ready to go in some capacity. Toby Gerhardt plays the first series. Wouldn't surprise me at all if you saw a steady diet of Denard Robinson until he sort of showed that his knee wasn't ready to do that. I think he's far superior to Toby Gerhardt. We've all seen that in preseason and early in the season. He showed last year that for a short stretch at least, he can be a guy who carries a lot and he can handle that. I don't know if he's a feature back all season, but for three or four games last year, he carried the load and was fine. I think until Yeldon gets back, they ideally would like that to be Denard Robinson. You almost get the idea that they wanted to give the idea that Guerrero was going to be the starter. I expect a steady dose of Denard unless he's not as healthy as he certainly seemed all week and being full.
I would have to think when Dave Caldwell pushed the contract across the table towards Jeremy Parnell, they had this game in mind.
Sure.
When you see J.J. Watt twice a year,
yep,
and when he has six sacks in two games against you, you got to find a way to stop him. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't just that. You needed to have two good tackles at this day and
absolutely.
Age, obviously. But I think he definitely slept a little easier in the offseason thinking about the Texans game with Jeremy Parnell. And when you sign a right tackle, these are the kind of games you sign him for, and it's what he's going to be judged on. He can have 14 other good games. If he's given up five sacks to J.J. Watt over two games, then that's going to be noticeable. I don't expect that. I think he's played okay. I don't think he's been at a high, high level all season. Out of five games, I think he's played okay, and I think he is ready for a game like this.
Two guys on defense I'm focused on. One, Devon House. Last week he played pretty well,
yep,
before leaving with the hip contusion.
Right. Played well the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right.
Covering the big receivers, Mike Evans in particular,
right,
for Tampa Bay. Today it would seem he would draw DeAndre Hopkins.
It will be interesting because last week was really the first time under Gus Bradley that they've had a guy shadow somebody all over the field. Now, is that a situation where they felt like he matched up well last week, or are they saying, look, Devon House is a guy who can do this. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy, out of anybody in the division right now, he's really the guy that you have to be concerned with as a big-time pass receiver, big over a game. They really wouldn't commit publicly this week to saying, yes, Devon's going to do that role. So that's why we're going to see if he does that today. Wouldn't surprise me if he does that, because they believe that he's a guy who can play press. He fits well in their defense. They think he's played really well the last 2 weeks. Will he do it today? We'll find out.
The other guy is John Cyprian, who I thought maybe played the best game of his young career in Indianapolis,
yep,
the week before Tampa.
Right.
And last week, maybe it was the absence of Paul Posluszny, and he felt the need to do more,
yep,
than just his job. But he missed several critical tackles that,
yep,
turned him to long runs.
Well, and that's really been the knock on him over a couple of years, is that he's played overall, out of all the plays, better than a lot of people think. But he has a couple of glaring plays a game at times where it just starts going the other way. Sergio Brown didn't play well at all last week. It was more him in the backfield than it was Cyprian. But he's got to play better. Brian, I think this game is a big game in the sense that they've had three straight losses. But those have been on the road. And even for a young team, it's not shocking to struggle on the road, even against teams you feel like you ought to beat. Winning on the road is a big step. This is a team today. Go ahead. This is a team today that you would think, playing at home against a team that's 1-4, this is the first one of the season that I thought, you know what, they ought to go win this. The other two I thought they could. This one you feel like they need to go get this.
Would you mind if we end on those words?
End it. Hopefully
Twitter,
somebody else will walk in front. That'd be awesome, too.
On Twitter all day, folks. First off the field, rapid recap. All the coverage you need for your Jaguars right here on Jaguars.com. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it. Have a great afternoon, everybody.